Shavua Tov, good davach. This is Rabbi Eitan Toker from Brooklyn, New York. One of the most famous psukim in our series of parshios here regarding the building of the Mishkan is regarding the chief architect of the Mishkan, and that is Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur l'mata Yehuda. Now, he also did have an assistant, Aliyah ben Achisamach, but I want to focus on Bezalel. The pasuk says in several places, in Kitisa and Bayaka, bunch of places, that Bezalel is described by his lineage, Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur l'mata Yehuda. Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, which was from the lineage, from the Shevet of Yehuda. Now, the Chizkuni cites the Medrash, which is quite famous, and the Medrash says that why do we have here the triple lineage here, Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur? Just say Bezalel or Bezalel ben Uri. You know, most of the personages in the Chumash are not described or identified by their grandparents. And the Medrash famously teaches that there's a reason that Hur is mentioned. And that is because Hur has a backstory. Everybody has a backstory. And Hur's backstory is particularly poignant in that the Medrash says that Bezalel lived at the time of the Chet HaEgel, and Bnei Yisrael were split up into a few camps. You had the individuals who served the Egel, who worshipped the Avodah Zarah, whatever the Chet HaEgel was, they did it. Then you had a large chunk of people who just said nothing. They were just silent. You know, they made a calculation. Do I say something or do I not say something? And they chose silence. They just to be quiet, take care of myself, do what I have to do, but, you know, I'm not getting involved. And then there was Hur. The Medrash says that Hur decided to speak up. And Hur indeed was Moser Nefesh. He risked his life and he lost his life speaking up for MS, for truth, for the Ribbono Shel Olam, for doing the right thing. And this was Hur. So now, two generations later, Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur becomes the chief architect of the Mishkan. On some level, it is not exactly a schar, but we see that from his lineage, we have this great individual that emerges. So that's what the Medrash says. Now, my question is on this Medrash. If we're talking about somebody who sacrificed for Klal Yisrael, then why does the Pasuk stop by Hur? You know, Hur had parents also. Hur's mother was Miriam. It's hard to think of somebody more significant than Miriam in the story of Klal Yisrael. She risked her life when, you know, putting Moshe out on the river, and then she stood off on the side, and then she goes and she speaks to Bas Paro and she intervenes. She really risks it for Moshe Rabbeinu. And without Miriam, Bederach HaTeva, the natural order, it is hard to say that Jewish history would have proceeded the way it had with the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. So my question is, why doesn't the Pasuk say Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur ben Miriam? Miriam was also an extraordinary figure in the history of Klal Yisrael. And she also risked. And she also was Moser Nefesh. I would suggest, however, that what the Medrash is telling us here, and what the Pasuk is emphasizing, is that there are two types of sacrifice, two types of commitment and sacrifice that people can have. A person can be Moser Nefesh, like Miriam. She put her neck out on the line. She could have stayed back. She could have been silent. She could have just withered away in the reeds, and nobody would have known the difference. But she risked it all. However, what Miriam gained was that she saw the end of her odyssey. That after she risked it all, she saw that Moshe was saved, and she saw that Moshe grew up, and she saw that Moshe became a leader of Klal Yisrael, and she saw Moshe bring the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, and Kriyas Yamsuf, and Har Sinai, and the Midbar, and the Nisim, everything by Moshe al Pi Hashem. So it is true that Miriam sacrificed and was Moseres Nefesh for Klal Yisrael, and part of her Moseres Nefesh, or part of her life journey, was that she saw the conclusion of the story. And she could get some solace, some Menuchas HaNefesh, some Hana, some sense of contentment that it was all worth it, because look what happened. That's one type of Moseres Nefesh. Then you have the Moseres Nefesh of Hur. Hur risked it all and lost his life. He was Moser Nefesh and literally was Moser Nefesh. And his Moseres Nefesh came at a cost that he never, would never, ever, ever see the fruits of his labor. Miriam saw the fruits of her labor. She saw the fruits of her Moseres Nefesh. Hur never did. And a person standing there at the time as an objective third-party observer could say to himself, who is right? Who made the smarter decision? The people who witnessed the egel and were silent, or Hur, who stood up? The people who witnessed the egel and were silent, they went on to live another day. Hur lost his life. So who was right? Who won and who lost? So according to the naked eye, al pi pshat, it would seem that Hur was the idiot. He was the sucker, if you will. He was the one who stood up and lost his life. So Hur was a person who was moser nefesh for Klal Yisrael, but would never see the fruits of his labor. And one could come to the faulty assumption and believe that he made the wrong choice, because after all, he died. But here there's a very, very valuable and important message. And that is that when it comes to sacrificing for Klal Yisrael, sometimes what seems to be the greatest failures are actually the cause of the greatest success. And let me give you a couple of examples. Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, right? He's one of the greatest leaders of Klal Yisrael in the last couple of hundred years. Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, I think, can be honestly described as one of the greatest fails in Jewish history. And this is not just me saying it. If you take a look at Rav Shimon Schwab in his book, Divrei Torah, he has a story here about the history of Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch. And he says that Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch devoted his life to the Austrian. That was a philosophy in which he was going to disengage from the secular, assimilated, reform Jewish community and create an independent structure community that would be dedicated and devoted and reinforcing Torah Avodah Gemilas Chasadim for the purposes of passing on the Mesorah. And this was a revolution. You know, today, I live in Brooklyn, every street in Brooklyn has four shuls. Every shul is its own community, right? Some communities around the country maybe have one shul for there, or two shuls for the whole community. But in that time, this was a revolution. It was one communal structure, and this one communal structure was structured around individuals and leadership that was leading Klal Yisrael intentionally off of the Derech of Avodas Hashem, Emunah and Bitachon. So Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch dedicated his life to creating a new structure, separating from that assimilationist group and creating an independent, organized community. And his life ended, says Rabbi Schwab, without successfully rallying a majority, even of his own congregation, to his cause. He died disappointed that only a small number of faithful members followed his lead. Only 115 members, or about one-third of his congregational membership, seceded with him. For Rav Hirsch, the failure of most of his membership to follow his lead was a personal tragedy, and it took a considerable toll on his health, and he aged greatly as a result of this fail. Now, on one perspective, Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch was a great failure. But I would argue from the perspective of Nitzchios, of Klal Yisrael, from the eternal Klal Yisrael, who won? Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch won, because his philosophy is the philosophy that ultimately was successful. Today, communities across the globe, those who define themselves as a Torah in Derech Eretz community, and even those who do not define themselves as a Torah in Derech Eretz community, are essentially living the legacy of Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch and are the beneficiaries of his teaching and are the consequence of his sacrifice, of his Mesiras Nefesh. He saved, in essence, certainly Western European Jewry in many ways, and the notion and conception of Mesiras Nefesh for Klal Yisrael and an authentic Torah Judaism is the philosophy that ultimately reigned successful. So was Rav Hirsch a failure? Was he a success? So if you look at it from the very limited vantage point of his moment in time, you'd say it was a failure. But his failure was truly a success. He sacrificed for Klal Yisrael, and this embedded itself into his community and into Klal Yisrael at large. I'll share with you another personal experience. I traveled to Poland a couple of years ago, and I visited the site, the headquarters of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. The street was Mila Street. The address is 18. I'm sure many of you have heard of it, Mila 18. And today, if you go there, it's basically just a small area, a little park area, a mound of ground with grass. And beneath that mound of grass, beneath that little park area, is the bunker in which the remains of those individuals who fought in the Warsaw Ghetto uprising, that's where the remains still lie. I don't think a Kohen can go visit that place. And I was thinking to myself, so who won? Who won? The fighters of the Warsaw Ghetto uprising died, and they died, and their bones are buried right there. But what they died for Klal Yisrael, for sacrificing Klal, Mesiras Nefesh for Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael is an Am HaNetzach, survives. And what they could not fathom, what they couldn't fathom, was a Klal Yisrael stronger, more rejuvenated, more refreshed, more vitalized and flourishing. Now, whether they were interested in Torah mitzvos is really beside the point. But you have a Klal Yisrael which is more invested in Torah and mitzvos and Eretz Yisrael than ever before. And you have a Medina Yisrael that has Jews from every persuasion, loving, living, fighting with one another. But this is life. You have a vibrant, flourishing Klal Yisrael. So from one perspective, they died. They died fighting for Klal Yisrael. From another perspective, they connected themselves to the Am HaNetzach, to the eternal Klal Yisrael. And the sacrifice for Klal Yisrael ultimately is part of the prescription and the ingredients for the eternal Klal Yisrael. And so if we go back to Chor, why is Chor mentioned? Why do we stop at Chor? Because perhaps what the Medrash is telling us is that, yes, on one level, Miriam showed great commitment and sacrifice in Mesiras Nefesh for Klal Yisrael, but she got to see the fruits of her labor. Chor would never see the fruits of his labor, and therefore, his Mesiras Nefesh, on some level, is an even deeper Mesiras Nefesh. He could never have imagined that through his own DNA would emerge a Bezalel who would see the glory of Klal Yisrael in the Binyan HaMishkan. We live at a time in which there is yet another bump in the path of Klal Yisrael's eternal march towards Geula. We've had many bumps along the way, some extraordinarily black and tragic bumps. And today, Klal Yisrael is facing, yes, another tragic bump along the way to Geula. But our marching orders have to be like Chor, to stand up for what is right, to deepen our emunah, to deepen our bitachon, and to know that even if we don't have the zchus to see the fruits of our labors, we are connecting ourselves through our Mesiras Nefesh to an Am HaNetzach, to a nation that is truly eternal. And every sacrifice that we make for the Ribbono Shel Olam, for Klal Yisrael, for our neighbors, for our families, for Torah, Avodah, and Gmilus Chasadim, deepens the Nitzchius of Klal Yisrael and gets us one step closer to the Geula. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us a bracha that we are all able to sacrifice for Klal Yisrael in healthy, happy, and joyful ways. And in so doing, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed bring a Geula Shleima b'mehera v'yameinu. Amen.